Listen to the voices of our world.
The Vatican is saying, yes, but at least they weren't gay. It's better to be Satan than to be gay. It's better to be a traitor. It's better to be a murderer than to be gay.
That's the thing. God made a mistake when God made you.
In fact, what makes a priest holy is not some superficial characteristic or qualifications imposed by the Vatican. It's his personal integrity.
Welcome to Voices of Our World, a presentation of this station and Maryknoll. I'm your host for today, Casey Morabito. Seen as a response to the convulsions of the sexual abuse scandal that shook the Catholic Church in the United States in recent years, the Vatican's Congregation for Catholic Education and Seminaries issued a 9-page document of instruction in November 2005. Boiled down, the document says that when it comes to prospective seminary candidates, gay men need not apply. To some, the instruction may accomplish two unfortunate results. First, it may serve to reinforce the common misperception that male homosexuality and pedophilia are intrinsically connected. And second, it seems to negate the worthiness of homosexual priests who are faithful to their vow of celibacy. To be sure, this is a very complicated and an emotional subject, but we'll try to sort through it today with Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Detroit, Bishop Thomas Gumbleton, and with Maryknoll Father Joseph Veneroso. February in New York State, Suffolk County Police, duplicating the disturbing results of the sting operation filmed for NBC's Dateline program, ensnared 24 suspected pedophiles, all males, ranging in age from 20 to 48. Detectives posed as underage boys and girls in popular online chat rooms. Some of the suspects sent indecent images of themselves, while others arranged meetings with the would-be young victims at an address set up by the police. All were charged with felony, disseminating indecent material to a minor. Possibly more shocking has been the number of adult women, many of them teachers, who have been either accused or convicted of some illegal sexual activity with children in just the last 2 years. WorldNet Daily published an article entitled Sextra Credit in January 2006, listing 62 such cases. One of the best-known recent cases is that of Deborah LaFave, who was scheduled for trial on April 10th in Florida for sexual misconduct with a 14-year-old boy in her classroom, her car, and her home. Pedophilia comes from the Greek paedophilia, meaning child love, and is generally defined as the condition of being sexually attracted, primarily or exclusively, to prepubescent or adolescent children. Most important, most medical and psychological texts state that a pedophile may be either male or female and either homosexual or heterosexual. So pedophilia is not the exclusive province of gay men. But in the Vatican's quest to appear proactive in answering the sexual abuse scandal in the American Catholic Church, the language used in the letter authored by the Congregation for Catholic Education and Seminaries seems to tie such crimes to male homosexual behavior. In an eloquent essay written for the December 12th issue of Time magazine, writer Andrew Sullivan, himself a gay Catholic, questions the fairness of Rome's approach. Sullivan wrote that the new pope, quote, has identified a group of people and said, regardless of how they behave or what they do, they are beneath serving God. Producer Kathy Golden talks with Maryknoll priest and publisher of Maryknoll magazine, Father Joe Veneroso.
One of the ones that Andrew Sullivan alluded to, and I think this exposes the lie behind the recent Vatican document, is the life and the death of Father Michael Judge, who was a Franciscan priest. He was a chaplain to the firemen. He was the first death certificate to be registered following the September 11th attacks. And there's that poignant picture of the fireman carrying out his lifeless body. And Andrew Sullivan on his website had above the picture, unfit to serve. Father Michael Judge happened to be gay. He never announced it publicly. He never hid it. Those who knew him to be gay. And to take that sacrifice and minimize it, I think if they have any integrity at all, the Vatican should at least return his fire helmet that was presented to him from the firemen of New York. Return it back to those of us here who value Michael Judge's sacrifice for all he was. Don't try to compartmentalize his life.
This has been a hovering threat for a while, but now under Pope Benedict we have this new document. Why now?
Yes, the document, as you said, has been in the offing for many years. What caused it to be pushed forward is the sex scandal. And even though their own psychiatrists and psychologists and human sociologists told them that there is no direct link between homosexuality and pedophilia, still there were those in the American church, certain bishops, who wanted to push forth this document. Many of us view as a smokescreen because, yes, there were many priests, unfortunately, who were abusing children. But the greater scandal was the way the bishops turned a blind eye to this and allowed this to go on for years. And not only have not many bishops been reprimanded, but Cardinal Law was even promoted. He was given a very choice position in Rome. So this document is a slap in the face to the victims of the child abuse. It is certainly an insult to all gay priests. It is a further insult to gay Catholics, their parents, their children. This document is wrong on so many levels. I'm surprised that the Vatican could even issue it without an apology.
Are they knowingly validating a misconception, that dotted line, that bridging pedophilia and homosexuality? Are they validating knowingly something that is not correct?
Well, if they're doing it knowingly, then there's really not much room for forgiveness. We can only grant them the hope of ignorance. Look at what Jesus did. That was the big catchphrase a few years ago. What would Jesus do? Well, look at what Jesus did when he called these men to be his apostles. And supposedly Jesus knew what was in men's hearts. He chose Judas, who turned traitor. He chose Matthew, a tax collector, which means he was a collaborator with the oppressors. He chose Simon the Zealot, and zealot in modern language would be the terrorist. And he chose Peter, who not only was to deny Jesus three times, but in one part of the gospel, Jesus turns to him and calls him Satan. To this mix, we add St. Paul, who started his career as being a persecutor of Christians and who was complicit in the murder of St. Stephen. So we have a murderer, a collaborator, a traitor, a terrorist, Satan. And these were all acceptable in Jesus' eyes, but the Vatican is saying, yes, but at least they weren't gay. It's better to be Satan than to be gay. It's better to be a traitor. It's better to be a murderer than to be gay. And you have St. Paul himself who says, it's when I am weak that Christ is strong. It seems like the whole idea of the new priesthood with Jesus is that he uses our weakness and shines through our weakness so that we show that there is no part of humanity that can't be touched. And what the Vatican document is trying to do, it seems, is reinstitute the old priesthood of the Old Testament when you have this ritually pure group that was apart from everybody else. The point is that that's not what Jesus intended, and that's not who Jesus chose. This document is saying, well, it doesn't matter even if you try to be celibate, that's not acceptable. So if priests with the whole background and backing and support of the institution cannot be celibate, how in the name of God can they expect the ordinary gay and lesbian who lives out in the world to live a quote-unquote single celibate life? It's totally irrational. And the problem with this document is not that it just makes the church look foolish, because the church has looked foolish before. And to look foolish for Christ is okay. But this one makes us look unchristian. And there's another part of the document which is blatantly false. It says that gay men cannot relate to men and women on a healthy level. Well, that's blatantly not true. Some of the best priests we've seen are gay priests, and they perform marriages, and they're sought out by straight people who may or may not know their orientation, but that's irrelevant. I think what makes a priest effective, in fact, what makes a priest holy, is not some superficial characteristic or qualifications imposed by the Vatican. It's his personal integrity. And integrity, I mean by he puts together the parts of his life. He doesn't say, my soul is pure, my mind is pure, my heart is pure, but my sexuality is over there. All of these parts of his life have been redeemed, have been touched by Jesus because Jesus was human. And he brings all of these forward. And when you see a priest that's all together, that attracts people, regardless of what his orientation is and regardless of what their orientation is. What attracts people is authenticity. And this document goes on to say that if a man has experienced transitory homosexuality or some other such nonsense, well, what happened to the person in the past is irrelevant. But if he has to spend a lot of his energy and a lot of his emotions in concealing who he is, or worse, despising who he is deep down in his being, how can he project the love of Christ to anybody when he can't even accept it himself? How can we minister not just to the gays and lesbians in our community, but to their parents, but to their children? And there's another aspect of the document, which they repeated from a previous one, that gays and lesbians are to receive respect and all instances of unjust discrimination are to be avoided. Well, this raises the question, is there just discrimination? And then you look at what the church has done in recent years. Look at what the church has done in recent years. They say no unjust discrimination, and yet from the pulpits, bishops have asked their priests to denounce gay marriage, to denounce gay rights, whether it's for jobs, whether it's for housing, whether it's for adoption. So what are we saying? What is this unjust discrimination? It means you can live, but not in our block, and you can work, but not in our offices.
So is this meant all along as window dressing, as set decoration? Is this unenforceable? Is it disingenuous? I mean,
it seems at its base to be rooted in fear. I see a lot of fear behind this document. A lot of things have changed in recent years. You have a lot of different groups calling for rights. And we saw this with African Americans. As they became more organized and more vocal, there was a backlash. Well, since 1969 and the Stonewall Uprising, gays and lesbians, bisexuals, etc., have been asking, demanding to be treated like human beings who pay taxes like everybody else, who love their families like everybody else, and not to be discriminated against just based on something that is, in fact, their own personal life. So as that has come forward, a lot of people saw changes and they reacted in fear. And they want to go back to the days when there were absolutes, when the church said, this is right, that's wrong, end of discussion. The only problem with this is that the church itself does not have a very good record in saying what is right and what is wrong. In 1866, 3 years after Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation, there was a Vatican document stating that there is nothing in divine or human law that's against slavery. They're defending slavery in 1866. Whoops, we made a mistake. Let's look at this through the eyes and mind and love of Christ.
Thank you, Father Joseph Veneroso.
Do you feel barring all gay men from the priesthood is the best answer to the Catholic Church's sexual abuse scandal? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org, and just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. You're listening to Voices of Our World.